Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word. And this show is for Friday, September the 23rd, 2016. We will be going into the book of Numbers, which is Bamidbar, meaning in the wilderness, in the Hebrew. And we will be doing chapters 33 and 34 today. Chapter 33 in itself is the journeys of the children of Israel. The timeline of these books is not consistent. They jump back in time and they jump forward in time, and they give information, and you'll have the information for one chapter and another chapter someplace else, and that's just how they wrote it. We do the best we can here to make sense of a lot of it. Some of it is a little confusing, but they did not have the same style of writing as we have in modern English today. Their poetry was different. Everything's different. We were a different people back then. Our lifestyle has changed drastically since those days up until now. We've gone through a number of changes. So bear with me. This is a backflash into when they were doing the journeying. So we go back in time a little bit. And this is chapter 33, verse 1. I'm not going to bother with the verse numbers unless there's a real real big thing. And in this chapter, there is not much of that. So let's get started. Verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel that went forth from the land of Mitzrayim with their hosts. Again, 6635. They went out armed. These were their armed forces, by the hand of Moshe and Aharon, and wrote Moshe of their goings out, 4161, in their journey, 4550, according to the mouth of Yahweh. And these are their journeys and goings out. They set out, 5265. Now that will be used throughout this chapter. Whenever they say they set out, it will always be 5265. They set out from Ramses, 7846, in the first month, on the morning after the Passover, 6:4-5:3. The children of Israel went forth with a high hand, 7:3:11 and 3:0-2:7. In the sight of all Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. And high hand means boldly. Okay, they didn't mince around about it. They all were had their swords strapped on, and they just walked. 4. Mitzrayim buried, 6:9-1:2, that which smote Yahweh of them, all their firstborn, and upon their Elohechem, that's their gods or mighty ones or rulers, executed, 6:2-1:3, to do Yahweh judgment, 8:2:0-1, that's plagues or punishments. And set out the children of Israel from Ramses and camped, 2:5:8:3, that's pitched their tents, in Sukkoth, 5:5:2:3. Get a frog in my throat occasionally. And they set out from Sukkoth and camped, pitched their tents again, at Etham, 864, that is on the edge, 7097, of the wilderness. There's going to be a lot of repetition in this with the setting out. They're going to name the place they camped at and then went someplace else. So that's the order of what's going on here. And they set out from Etham and turned aside, 7725, into Pi Hakiroth, 6:3-6:7, that is before Baal Sephon, 1189, and they camped before Migdol, 4:0-2:4. And they set out from before Pi Hakiroth and passed through the midst of the Sea of Reeds into the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, 8:6:4, again, and camped at Marah, 4:7:8:5. And they set out from Marah and came to Elima, 3:6:2, and that is the formal spelling of Elim. So here we are, and in Elim, the common spelling, were 12 fountains, 5:8:6:9, literally eyes, in metaphorical usage, of water, and 70 palm trees, 8:5:8, and they camped there. And they set out from Elim and camped by the Sea of Reeds. And they set out from the Sea of Reeds and camped in the wilderness of Sin. S-I-Y-N. I believe it's T-S-I-Y-N, if I'm not mistaken. 5:5:1:2. And I will look that up. I want to make sure that's not a different word. 5:4:5:5:1:2. Yeah, that is a different spelling. S-I-Y-N. Okay. There is a T-S-I-Y-N as well, but that's S-I-Y-N there. I was right. I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Verse 12, and they set out from the wilderness of Sin and camped in Dothakah. That's 18:50. second here. And they set out from Dophekah and camped at Alush, 4:42. I'm going to hit a coffee here, get this throat clear. And they set out from Alush and camped at Rephidim, 7508, where there was no water for the people to drink. 15. And they set out from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. 5514. And they set out from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hataawa, 6914. And they set out from Kibroth Hataawa and camped at Katzaroth, 2698. Pardon me. And they set out from Katzaroth and camped at Rithamah, 7575. And they set out from Rithamah and camped at Rimon Peretz, 7428. And they set out from Rimon Peretz and camped at Libnah, 3841. And they set out from Libnah and camped at Rissa, 7446. And they set out from Rissa and camped at Kehelatha, 6945. You're seeing the pattern here. This is all the setting out and camping. And they set out from Kehelatha and camped at Mount 2022 Shafer, 8234. And they set out from Mount Shafer and camped at Karada, 2732. And they set out from Karada and camped at Makaheloth, 4772. And they set out from Makaheloth and camped at Tachath, 8481. And they set out from Tachath and camped at Tarak, 8646. Verse 28, and they set out from Tarak and camped at Mithagah, 4989. And they set out from Mithagah and camped at Kashamona, 2832. And they set out from Kashamona and camped at Moseroth, 4149. And they set out from Moseroth and camped at Bnei Ya'akan, 1142. So that means son of Ya'akan. And they set out from Bnei Ya'akan and camped at Kor HaGidgad, 2735. And they set out from Kor HaGidgad and camped at Yotbatha, 3193. And they set out from Yotbatha and camped at Eberona, 5684. And they set out from Eberona and camped at Etzion Gaber, 6100. And they set out from Etzion Gaber and camped in the wilderness of Tsin. There's T-S-I-N, now one I was taught thinking of. 6790, which is Kadesh, 6946. And they set out from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor, 2023, on the border of the land of Edom. Now, Mount Hor is Har Hor, H-A-R-H-O-R. It's like a word play. Har means mountain, and Hor is the name of the mountain. Verse 38. And went Aharon the priest unto Mount Hor at the commandment of Yahweh, and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Mitzrayim, in the first day of the fifth month. Now, all this journeying that I have just recounted to you up to this point took 40 years. They stayed these places for a while. And Aharon was 123 years of age when he died on Mount Hor. He was a ripe old age, been around a while, and heard the Canaanite king Arad, 6166, who dwelled in the Negeb, 5045, that means the southern desert region of the land of Canaan, of the coming of the children of Israel. And they set out from Mount Hor and camped at Salamona, 6758. And they set out from Salamona and camped at Punon, 6325. And they set out from Punon and camped at Oboth, 88. And they set out from Oboth and camped at Iye Ha'abarim, 5863, on the border of Moab. And they set out from Iye, 5864, that's a different form of the same 5863, and camped at Dibon Gad, 1769. And they set out from Dibon Gad and camped at Alamon Dibalathayama, 5963. And they set out from Alamon Dibalathayama and camped in the hill country, 2022, of Abarim 5862 before Nebo 5015. That's Mount Nebo. Verse 48, and they set out from the hill country of Abarim and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan near Jericho. That's the Jordan, the Jordan River near Jericho with J's. But it's Jordan and Jericho in the Hebrew. And they camped by the Jordan from Beth Hayeshimoth, 1020, the house of Yeshimoth, to Abel Hashittim, 63, in the plains of Moab. Here things change. Verse 50. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, this is very specific from here on. Verse 52. Then you shall dispossess, that's 3423, multiple uses, all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy, that's 6 in Strong's, all their images, 4906, and destroy all their cast, 4541, images, 6754, and demolish, 8045, all their high places, 1116. Those were places of pagan worship, Baal. Verse 52, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And 4541 were images cast from molten metal. And 4906 are statues, etc. So, 53. And you shall dispossess them of the land and dwell in it, because I have given you the land to possess it. Now that is 3423. As I said, it has multiple uses. It can be positive or negative. Possess or dispossess or inherit. 54. And you shall divide the land by lot. That's the casting of the Urim and Thummim. By lot for an inheritance among your clans. To the more you shall give more inheritance. And to the fewer you shall give less inheritance. Each man shall be in the place where his lot goes forth, according to the tribes of your forefathers you shall inherit. Now, verse 54, you can reference Numbers, chapter 26, 54 through 56. Verse 55, this is a key verse, listen to this. But if you will not dispossess the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those which remain of them shall be pricks 7, 8, 9, 9 in your eyes, and thorns 6, 7, 9, 6 in your sides. Verse 56, and moreover it shall be that I shall do to you as I planned 18:19 to do to them. Now verse 55, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 1 through 6 and chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. And the pricks in your eyes are short, needle-like barbs or thorns. That's 7, 8, 9, 9. And verse 56, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. And that ends chapter 33. Now this starts before Aharon died, and it shows all the patterns of their encampments up to the time they were to take over the land of Canaan. In verses 50 through 56, they were specifically told what to do when they crossed the Jordan River. All the high places of pagan worship and all the false gods. They were to destroy all of these places and the items of worship. They were to dispossess all the Canaanite, take their land, and kill all that would not leave. This was not a suggestion, but a command. And it clearly tells what will happen if they disobey in verses 55 and 56. And they didn't do it. And the remnants of those people plague true Israel today. The Edomites are posing as Israel, and they have mixed with all sorts of mongrel people, and they're bringing in all this false doctrine, false religion, false gods. We didn't complete our commission. Shame on us. And the only one that can save us from this now is the return of Yeshua Messiah, when he will destroy these people, finally, when he returns. Amen and amen. I can't wait for when he comes back. I'll sing praises of glory. Well, let's get into chapter 34. And there are 36 chapters in the book of Numbers, and I will finish up on Monday with the book of Numbers. And on Tuesday, I will begin the book of Deuteronomy, and I will have a special show for next Wednesday, which is the high holy day of Yom Kippur, and that means what they've been calling it is the Day of Atonement. That is not technically correct. It's the Day of Propitiation, when the sins were covered over. Because Kippur is to cover over. Well, we don't have to do all the sacrifices, and we don't have to go through a lot of stuff. It is still a day that we fast from sundown on the 27th to sundown on the 28th. Of this month is the Day of Propitiation, Yom Kippur. And we are to fast. We are not to eat or drink. We are to afflict ourselves, as it says. I'll be doing a whole show on that. But the sacrifices have been fulfilled by Yeshua Messiah, and it is a messianic Christian holy day. It is a high Shabbat. We are to do no work. I will celebrate that. You do that in your home, in reverence and praise. You read scripture and you give praise and prayer to Yahweh and to Yeshua. for his sacrifice and gift to us. So that that will be next Wednesday. I will have that show. Let's get into chapter 34 here. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, the land that shall fall, 5307, to you for an inheritance. That's how the lot falls. That's what he's talking about. The land of Canaan with the territory, 1367, of it. Then shall be your south, 5045 region, 6285, from the wilderness of Sin, T-S-I-N, near to the side, 3027, which is literally the hand of Edom, and shall be your south border, 1366, from the boundary, 7097, of the sea, 3220, of salt, 4417, eastward, 6924. Now the Sea of Salt is today what they call the Dead Sea because it's of such high salt content. Verse 4, and shall turn your border from the south, that's the Negeb region, to the Ma'ale Akrabim, 4610. That's a scorpion I sent, I do believe, a scent of scorpions. And pass through to Sin, T-S-I-N, and shall be the border, 8444, from the south to Kadesh, Barnea, 6947, and go forth to Katzar, Adar, 2692, and pass through to Atzamona, 6111, and shall turn the border from Atzamon, that's the common spelling as opposed to the formal spelling, to the Wadi, that's the river valley, 5159 of Mitzrayim, and shall be the end point at the sea, 3220, that is the Mediterranean Sea of the West, and the border west, 3220, in other words, seaward, shall be to you the great, 1419, sea, 3220. This shall be to you the border west, or seaward. They're talking about the Mediterranean, not the Dead Sea. That is a small inland water body with high salt. They're talking about the big Mediterranean Sea, which is the closest one to Israel. And this shall be to you the border north, 6828. From the great sea shall you mark a line, that's one word, 8376, to Mount Hor. And from Mount Hor, mark a line to the entrance, 935, of Hamath, 2574, and shall be the end point of the border at Sedada, T-S-E-D-A-D-A-H, 6657. Verse 9. And shall go forth the border to Zipharona, 2202, and shall be the end point at Katzar Anon, 2704. This shall be to you the border north. Verse 10, and you shall mark a line, different word, 184, for the border east, 6924, from Katzar Anon, 2704, to Shefama, 8221, and shall go forth the border from Shepham to Ribalah, 7247, on the east of Ain, 5871. And shall go forth the border and shall reach 4229 to the side 3802 of the Sea of Kinnereth, K-I-N-N-E-R-E-T-H, 3672 eastward, and shall go forth the border to the Yardena, 3381. That's another spelling of the Yarden River. That's a formal spelling where they put the ah on the end. And shall be the end point at the sea, 3220, of salt, 4417. This shall be your land with the borders around it. They went all the way around in the big route all the way around Israel. Verse 13. And commanded Moshe the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot. 1486, they're going to cast lots for the inheritance, which commanded Yahweh to give to the nine tribes and the half tribe. Now, verse 13 through 15 here, you can reference the book of Joshua 14, verses 1 through 5. And specifically for verse 13, reference the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verses 52 through 56. Verse 14, because have taken the tribe of the children of the Reubeni, 7206, by the house of their forefather, and the tribe of the children of the Gadi, 1410, by the house of their forefather, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have taken their inheritance, which I read to you a little earlier. The two tribes and the half-tribe have taken their inheritance on this side of the Jordan near Jericho, that's Jordan and Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise, 4217. Verse 16, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, these are the names of the men which shall apportion the land. Eleazar the priest and Yahshua son of Nun. and one leader from each tribe you shall take to apportion the land. That way everybody's got a say in it. Verse 19, and these are the names of the men of the tribe of Yehuda. What do, they would say Judah, but there's no J, and it means Yah is praised. And the Jews don't use Yahweh, so they don't praise Yah, so they can't be of Yehuda. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and of the tribe of the children of Shimeon, Shamuel, son of Amihud, and of the tribe of Binyamin, Elidad, 449, son of Kisalon, 3692. And of the tribe of the children of Dan, the leader, Buki, B-U-Q-Q-I-Y, 1231, son of Yogali, 3020. That's Y-O-G, sound, L-I-Y. And of the children of Yosef, of the tribe of the children of Manasseh, the leader, Haniel, that's C-H-A-N-N-I-Y-E-L, 2592, son of Ephod, 641. And of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, the leader, Kemuel, that's Q-E-M-U-E-L, 7055, pardon me, son of Shiphaton, 8204. And of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, the leader, Elitzaphan, 469, son of Paranak, 6535. And of the tribe of the children of Issachar, the leader, Paltiel, 6409, son of Azan, 5821. Now, you've heard some of these names before, but they're different people because those other people died. That's a common name. They had plenty of names, just like we have John and Bill and Bob and Steve. In the English language, they had lots of, you have to go by the father's name. And that's what they do. They always give the name of the father to differentiate somebody with a common name from all the others. There are seven Jehoshaphats in Scripture. I don't think a lot of people know that. It's not all the same guy. There are seven people named Jehoshaphat. Verse 27. And of the tribe of the children of Asher, the leader, Akihud, 282, son of Shalomi, 8015. And of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, the leader, Pedael, 6300, son of Amihud, 5989. These are those which commanded Yahweh to apportion the inheritance of the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. Okay, that ends chapter 34. They're getting set for the big leap. Tomorrow in chapter, or Monday rather, chapter 35 and 36, I'll tell you all about the cities of refuge and the cities of the Lewium and all of that. And then we will end up the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. We will end that up on Monday, which is a Shabbat day. I go by the solar calendar. Some don't. Do whatever you believe, you know. But I follow the solar calendar. That's just me. I'm not going to shove that down anybody's throat. But it's going to finish up with all these plans that that Yahweh is going to reiterate and has reiterated. A lot of it will be repetitious. It's that way in Scripture. It just is that way. That's how it is. Then we will go into Ele Devarim, which are these are the words. It's a recounting of a lot of the laws with more added. They keep revealing stuff in later books. And the reason that they gave all these rules again were because all of these people that were there except for Caleb and Yahshua were all new people. They'd never heard a lot of this stuff. They'd heard stuff from their parents while they were alive, but all their parents perished out in the wilderness because of their testing of Yahweh and their disobedience and their cowardice. They wouldn't go into the land. Oh no, there's big people there. They might beat us up and kill us and stuff. Oh no. And Yahweh really, you know, he was going to be with them. So what were they had to worry about? He would have helped them. Same way he's going to help us when Yeshua Messiah returns. And all these horrible enemies that we've got are going to be smitten. Trust in Yahweh. Don't trust in horses and chariots. In other words, don't trust in weapons. When Yahshua returns, he's going to wipe these people out. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things that we just fail to have faith. We keep falling down and worrying about what we are going to do. You don't have to worry about what we are going to do. I'm going to read my favorite verse from 2 Thessalonians, starting at verse 6 in chapter 1. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, speaking to Israel, that's us. Who's afflicting us? You know who? You know Jew. And to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yahshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Now the churchianity calls them angels, but they're messengers in the Hebrew. And these were not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy little angels with bows and all that, cupids and all that garbage. These are killers, okay? That's their job. They're very fearsome creatures. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim. Now, who uses the Talmud and doesn't really worship Elohim? They worship their rabbis and money, okay? And on those who do not obey. Oh my, there's that nasty word, obey. the good news of our master, Yeshua, Messiah. They don't believe in him. They say he's not the Messiah. He hasn't placed them in financial control of the entire planet. Oh my, he can't be the Messiah. Because they know they're not Israel anyway. Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength? You may be on top now, but this is what's coming for you. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that's us, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, that's us, because our witness to you was believed. Now, this is not going to be a bake sale. There's going to be some crispy critters and lots of frying in that flaming fire that he's bringing with him. But for those of us who believe on Yahweh and on Yeshua and call upon their name and do our very best in our private lives to try to be obedient and keep the feasts, keep the feast, keep the feasts. Their commandments are not passed away, they're not nailed to the cross. Keep the feasts. We can't stress that enough in Christian identity. Obedience is what he wants, rather than the blood of bulls and goats. He had the final blood sacrifice when Yeshua, who was a manifestation of the Father on this planet, surrendered his life and let himself be killed by the Edomites to cover over our sins with perfect blood, not the blood of animals for 1 year, but perfect sacrifice for those that believe and obey. You have to show fruits worthy of repentance. You can't just say, oh, I believe, and then just keep on living like you're living. You have to turn yourself around, and I'm not talking about the hokey pokey. I'm talking about repentance. Repentance just doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means you change your lifestyle and quit doing what you were doing that got you sinning in the first place. It requires action on your part. You're not going to work your way into heaven. That's not what I'm saying. The sacrifice will work you into heaven, but he expects good faith on your part that you will, if you truly believe, you will want to do these things. You will want to obey the law. You will want to follow Yeshua's lead and teachings. You will have that law written on your heart if you are truly one of his. And those of you that just give lip service and put on a little show before your congregation, running up to the altar and crying and weeping and doing all that stuff, and then you leave and you go out and you're doing the same stuff that you were doing before, and you don't change your lifestyle, and you don't observe the real Shabbat, you're worshiping on the day of the sun god, and you're keeping pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter, that's not repentance. Because Yeshua said, you worship me in vain. If you're doing all those things, your prayers are not heard. They are worthless. Your worship on the day of the sun god is worthless. It is not the Shabbat day. You go to a building with an Egyptian sun pillar on its roof called a steeple. You don't use the name of Yahweh. You say, the Lord. You say Jesus instead of Yeshua. You don't study and learn these truths. We can tell them to you all day long on Eurofolk Radio. But if you don't study yourself and take the time to look these things up, I mean, you need to look these up. We could be shining you on, just like all your Judeo-Christian pastors have been shining you on all these years and handing you their Talmud Christianity fairy tales from the Jew-infiltrated seminary schools, the cemetery schools, which lead to your spiritual death. We're trying to wake you up because we care about you, not because we hate you and we are angry at you and all these negative things. No! We were once in the same condition you Judeo-Christians are. We were where you are now. And somebody told us the truth. Bless them. May Yahweh bless them for being a real Christian and telling us the truth. And there's so many that listen to EFR that are where we are now. They believe and they live that lifestyle. They've made a conscious decision to change. And I grieve to think that my brothers and sisters out there in Israel that haven't woken up yet might have waited too long and it might be too late for them, because we don't know when Yeshua is coming back, and it's going to be pretty soon because things are getting mighty ugly out here and they're getting worse daily. The violence is increasing and the apostasy and the sexual immorality and the drugs and the just the race mixing and the filth is abounding out here. The prince and power of the air, the devil, is in control right now. He certainly controls this government, controls the media, except for this kind of media, the movies, Talmud Vision. A lot of the commercial radio stations won't broadcast anything like this. They'd never think of putting this show on the air. Or David James, or Eli James, or Pastor Mullet. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. They'd never carry a show on a commercial station. Unthinkable might anger their Jew owners. It's like where John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness and trying to get people to show fruits worthy of repentance. Because we don't want to lose you, brother and sister. We sure don't. It just sends chills up my spine to realize how many are going to be lost and will have gone to church all their lives in vain. And these churches of Laodicea are lukewarm. They're teaching apostasy. You see race mixing in the church. You see pagan holidays. You hear the lies. They accept homosexuals. Oh, please. Well, it's about that time. So I will see you on Monday, the Shabbat. And I will bid you shalom aleichem, which is peace be with you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you until then. Have a good day. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.